Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
He sends Jesus to Egypt so that he won't be killed, but he calls him out of Egypt to eventually be put to death for your sins and for mine. Why did God do that? Because he loved us.
Today we come to the 14th division in our study of the life of Jesus Christ. The events recorded in Matthew chapter 2 show us how God providentially called Jesus down to Egypt to save him from the wrath of Herod. This episode concludes as Joseph brings Mary and Jesus back into Galilee, where Jesus will live out his childhood in the obscure little town of Nazareth.
Have your Bibles with you this morning. Let me rephrase that. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2, if you would please. We're going to begin this morning in verse 13 and probably finish out the chapter, Lord willing, and I can keep my mind focused on the things that we find therein. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 is commonly called the flight to Egypt. If you have titles for sections in your Bible that people have written in for you, it might just say those very words, the flight to Egypt, or the flight into Egypt. As I was studying this week, I remember when I was a child, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention when I was a kid, I'm just going to tell you that. But when certain words would pop out, I would pay attention to that part, completely ignoring a lot of the rest of it. But I remember as a young child hearing the term, the flight to Egypt. And so for the next 45 minutes while the preacher is preaching, I'm picturing Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to DFW Airport. You know, because DFW was new, relatively new when I was young. And so that was the new thing. And they got on a plane and they flew to Egypt, which basically to me as a child meant they left Texas. That was my understanding of it. Didn't have a full definition of the word flight. We call them flights because they get us there quickly. And that's what's described here, is that Mary and Joseph are caused to leave quickly and flee to Egypt. If you'll recall what has happened thus far, is after her days of purification. So Jesus is around 40 days old. They go to the temple. They meet Grandpa Simeon. They meet Grandma Anna. And then Jesus is dedicated. And it says, and they return to their home country, which is Nazareth. Then we had the visit of the wise men. The wise men following a star when they found it in Persia in the western sky, they followed over, and supposing that the king of the Jews would be in Jerusalem, these wise men go to Jerusalem. And where do you go and find kings and the sons of kings? They go to the palace and they ask Herod, where is this new king that should be born? And we'll recall that Herod wasn't really happy about that. Okay, called in the scribes and the leaders of the people. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. And so Herod charged the wise men. Remember we said there was at least two, maybe nine, maybe more, who knows, somewhere in between. But three is an okay number. Okay, there could have been three because that's plural. He said, I want you to go to Bethlehem. And if you listen to the podcast of the sermon, I fixed my geography from last week. They went exactly the opposite way of where Herod told them to go. He told them to go south to Bethlehem. They went north to Nazareth. Because that's where the star was leading them. God was leading them to where Jesus was. They present their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus. And then these wise men, rightly called so by our King James translators, not magi, not magicians, not sorcerers. These were wise men. They were children of God seeking to worship the true king. They're warned of God in a dream to not go back to Herod. And they return to their own country another way. And we pick up now in verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The very night that the wise men leave, we don't know how long they were there, but words mean something, and when the word and appears right after something, it's just the logical sequence. So whatever day the wise men were there, that night, Joseph is asleep and the Lord speaks to him in a dream. Now here's a little bit of a side sermon. Joseph gets a bad rap a lot of times. Okay? Unrightfully so. Now, you know me, I'm not so much for all of the paintings and drawings that people do of characters from the Bible. But you could make a list of the pictures of that include Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in them. And for some strange reason, they have this stupid New Age halo around the ones that they think were saints. And half of them would have a circle around Joseph's head, and the other half wouldn't. God spoke to this man repeatedly. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writers of the gospel call him a just man. Say, well, we don't ever have any evidence of him during Jesus' ministry. No, we don't. But given the fact that while Jesus was on the cross, he turns to John, the only disciple that stayed around, and said, Behold thy mother, and said to Mary, Behold thy son. Wasn't talking about Mary being the mother of all people, being the mother of God. He was saying, John, take care of mom. Saying, she is now your mother. He wouldn't have needed to do that if Joseph was still alive. Sometime before Jesus' earthly ministry, obviously, Joseph had passed away. But the fact that God speaks to him continually shows me that God loved this man and used this man in a mighty way to deliver his son, God's son. And Matthew makes a point of that. You ever notice the wording? That Matthew goes to great lengths to make sure his readers understand that Jesus is not the son of Joseph. Joseph wasn't even in the room when the wise men showed up. It was just Mary and Jesus. And now here, the angel speaks to him. It says, arise and take the young child and his mother. He doesn't say, Joseph, take your son. Okay? Matthew makes a very good point for us to remind us continually that this is God's son and that Joseph is doing an amazing thing. I mentioned to you all before that song, It Wasn't His Child. He adopted him as his own, though, and he loved him dearly and he took care of him. And the description that we have here is Joseph is having this dream in the middle of the night, and he awakes as soon as the dream is over, and he reaches over and says, Mary, we got to go. And they left right then. He didn't wait a couple of days. Remember, we talked about the providence of God, that this young couple who were poor, coming from poor families, living in a poor town, can't exactly just on a whim take a trip down to Egypt. But the Lord provided some of the most expensive gifts for the young child. And they had a way and the means in order to make it to Egypt quickly. The angel warns Joseph that Herod is planning on killing Jesus. You know, evil men and world leaders may put up a show of their intents. They may say, I am doing this for a noble reason. Herod said, I am doing this so that I may come and worship him also. Y'all come back and tell me where he's at, and I'm going to go worship him also. But folks, God knew Herod's heart. God knew Herod's intent of wanting to know where Jesus was. So he warns the wise men, don't go back and tell him. But God also knows how Herod is going to react to that. God knows that when Herod realizes, hey, these guys didn't come back and tell me, Herod's still going to want to kill Jesus. And so God knows what he's planning on doing, and he gets Jesus away from the danger. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. This is a quotation from Hosea chapter 11, the first verse. And it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, the focus that Matthew has on the fulfillment of the scripture is the fact that Jesus, is the Savior, is going to be called out of Egypt. But look at the whole verse. When Israel was a child, this is talking about the condition of the children of God being helpless. And it says, then I loved him and sent and called my son out of Egypt. Why did God call Jesus, his son, out of Egypt so that he could die? Now the world thinks that's quite bizarre. He sends Jesus to Egypt so that he won't be killed, but he calls him out of Egypt to eventually be put to death for your sins and for mine. Why did God do that? Because he loved us. He didn't do this so that we would love him. He did this because he loved us. Didn't do this to try and talk us into loving him. He did these wondrous things for us by his grace. And there's something else that's quite ironic about this. Mary and Joseph go into Egypt. Remember your history a little bit. You know, Joseph is sold into captivity. He ends up down in Egypt and becomes a leader there. But that Pharaoh passed away, and another one came up and saw how strong the Jews were getting. And what did he do with them? Put them in bondage. Made them slaves. And then there came this time where this Pharaoh realized that the Hebrew boys were stronger than the Egyptian boys. And so what did he order? He told the doctors and nurses to come in and to kill the child as soon as they're born, before they can get strong. But apparently the Hebrew women and their midwives were strong. And before that Pharaoh's devices could be carried out, the Hebrews were born. That's how Moses ended up in a basket, is so he could be hidden from this. Look at the marvelous overruling providence of God, though. A country that once killed all of the children, now the Lord uses that to save his only begotten son. That's amazing to me. Okay, the main point I want to make about that is that God holds the nations in his hands. Okay, I love the United States of America. Let me rephrase that. I'm still trying to love the United States of America, but I love the Lord more because he holds this nation, as well as every other nation on the earth, in his hand. And if the Lord's so pleased to continue to bless the United States of America, then I'm going to rejoice. If he doesn't, then I'm still going to rejoice in him, because it's probably righteous judgment against a nation if we make these mistakes. But out of Egypt have I called my son, because I love you. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he hath had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. This is one of the darkest times in the history of man. This is one of the most evil men that's ever walked the shores of time. We recall he killed a good portion of his family because he was afraid he was going to lose his throne. Being afraid once again of this king that is born in Judea, he sends the wise men on a mission so that he can kill him. They don't return, and so he says, I'll handle this. I'm going to kill all the children under 2 years old in Bethlehem and in every place that is in my jurisdiction. Basically, what that means when it says in the coast thereof, this wasn't just in Bethlehem, folks. This was in Bethlehem. It was in Galilee. It was beyond Jordan. Everywhere that Herod reigned, every child they could find was killed. He wasn't just exceedingly wroth. It says he was exceeding wroth. He may have been a madman before, but now he shows no restraint whatsoever. This is spoken of, it says Jeremy, which is Jeremiah. And this is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 15. Now, when a New Testament writer quotes only a portion of a scripture, he doesn't mean that that's the only important part. A New Testament writer is going to assume that his audience either already knows these scriptures or is going to go back and read them. But what he is saying is, I'm going to explain to you what God truly meant by this prophecy. Up until the slaughter of these children, many people wondered what this really meant in Jeremiah chapter 31. Matthew says this is what it meant. God was foretelling what this horrible man, Herod, would do. Jeremiah 31, 15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. This is an image of all of the mothers in Israel. That's who Rachel represents, is all of the mothers in Israel. That none of them could be comforted because all of their children under 2 years old had been killed. That's what it means, because they were not. They could not come back to them because they were not alive. Now, if we only look at the portion that Matthew quotes, it's significant enough because it shows us this fulfillment of something absolutely horrible. Not that God was pleased with it. We're going to deal with that in just a second. God is sorely displeased with what's going on here. God hates sin. Let me make sure you understand that. But there is more. Look in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord. They're weeping because their children were killed. But thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. These children were not taken captive, were they? They were killed. What is one of the two greatest enemies of man? Death. At the same time Jeremiah is saying there's going to be a great weeping, he's going to say, the Lord says, though, don't continue weeping, because they are going to come out of the hand of the enemy. They are going to be raised from the dead, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. These children that were killed by Herod never returned to the natural land of Israel. What's being spoken of here, though, is that every single one of them, at the moment of their death, was in the face of God, and that every single one of these deceased infants will be raised in newness of life and be in the new Jerusalem. With a combination of what Matthew is saying and what Jeremiah is saying, he's saying this is a horrible event, but have hope for every single one of them. Not one of them left out. Every single infant is an elect child of God and will stand in glory.
Victorious God,
we hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. Please join us again later this week as we conclude the message, The Flight into Egypt. Until then, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.